मन्माथा श्रीजगन्नाथो मद्गुरु श्रीजगद्गुरु मदात्मा सर्वभूतात्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ध्यानमूलं गुरो पूजामूलं गुरोर्पदं मन्त्रमूलं गुरोर्वाक्यं भक्तिमूलं गुरोर्कृपा करारविन्देन पदारविन्दं मुखारविन्दे विनिवेशयन्तं वटस्य पत् त्रस्य पुटे शयानम् बालं मुकुन्दं मनसा स्मरामि यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तग्वंह देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये।
Dear devotees, we'll have a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and then I'll begin today's topic.
Bhajo Giridhar Govinda Gopala
Govinda.
Oh.
Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki. All of us here have in some way been affected by the teachings of Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. Some of you have met him personally, some of you have not. But we're all here because, in one way or another, we've been touched by his teachings and by his personality, whether it was in person or through TV or YouTube or any audio recording. So all of you sitting here today, you would be wanting to hear something about Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. And normally, we think of things from our own personal perspective. What does something mean to me? This is very natural and normal. But in this case, it will benefit us to take another step back and think about Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj from a global perspective. How will the world remember him? We know how we'll remember him. How will the world remember him? Because if we get that kind of perspective, if we think about it in that way, it will also increase our appreciation for the experiences we've had and what we've gained through his teachings and his association. So what I'm about to do, in Hindi we would call anadhikar cheshta, meaning I'm not qualified to speak on the topic that I'm about to speak on, but I'm going to do it anyway. Hopefully something of value will come out of my mouth, and one day you may get to hear about this topic from a true divine saint, but here this weekend, I'll be discussing these topics with you. Kripaluji Maharaj, or Maharajji, as he was known to many, many souls in this world, Sri Maharajji, he was Jagatguru. So what does that mean? I'll be discussing in the next few days. Basically, you can say the Jagatguru brought his teachings and his message to the world in such a way that not only scholars would benefit from it and understand it, but even common people would benefit from it and understand it and be able to repeat it to others. So I'm going to be expanding on this idea that someone so great, with such a high level of knowledge, his explanations were so elegant that you didn't have to be a scholar to understand them. A scholar of the highest level would appreciate it, but even an uneducated person could benefit from it and fully grasp what he was saying. So to understand from, I guess you can say, to understand how Sri Maharajji fits into the big picture, first we have to look at what the big picture is. Then we can see, how does Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj fit into that big picture? So let's take the widest angle view. Srishti, this creation, the whole universe, why does it exist? Mukhyam tasya hi karunyam. Shandilya Bhakti Sutra says that God manifests the universe out of his kindness to grace the souls. How does manifesting the universe grace the souls? Bhagwan saw that during Mahapralaya, all those souls who are under Maya, who haven't attained him, they're just lying like in a state of pending, waiting within him. What's the use of that kind of existence? Those souls have the potential to become blissful if they attain God. So, out of his kindness, God manifests the universe to give us a chance to attain him and become blissful. having manifested the universe, he also knows that there are certain requirements for us. He provides for us physically all the different edible substances that are on this earth planet growing naturally. He made that prabandh on our behalf. But he also made spiritual preparations. Meaning, he didn't just send us here to live physically. He made certain other preparations and arrangements to make sure that we had the correct guidance. So he produced the Vedas and other scriptures. The analogy that Kripaluji Maharaj always gave is that just like before a baby is born, milk has already come in the breast of the mother, so that as soon as that baby is born and is hungry, there's sustenance available. Similarly, from a spiritual perspective, the souls, ordinary souls who are born in this world, they need guidance. What is right? What is wrong? What is the goal of my life? What should I be doing? What is the aim of my life? All of that is already revealed by God in the Vedas before the ordinary souls even start taking birth on this earth planet. So he provides this karma bhumi. He gives us a human birth, which gives us the ability to perform karma. Naraka swarga apavarga niseni jnana viraga bhakti sukha deni. As Tulsidas ji says, only this manushya yoni, only this human body, when a soul takes such a birth, it is called karma yoni, which means he gets to perform karma. So he can progress forward, he can also go backwards, and he has the ultimate potential of attaining God. All of this is for us. So looking at the biggest picture, God manifests this whole universe only for us, the souls who have yet to attain him. And before we even take human birth, he has already made available all the knowledge we need in the form of the Vedas, which are also further explained in other scriptures like the Gita, Sixth Darshan Shastras, Ramayan, 18 Puranas, etc. So all of this arrangement is made. Then we come, we take birth, we get a chance to be born as human. But he doesn't stop there. He also sends saints on the earth planet who are spiritual guides who make sure that those who really want to understand what is written in the Vedas and other scriptures, those divine saints can help them get the correct understanding. God himself also comes and visits in a form which is actually visible to our eyes. He takes avatar on this earth planet for many reasons. To set certain examples of what he's already told in the Vedas, to give the souls leelas to remember him by. And he sometimes comes, he himself, in the form of a saint, like when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji, Radha and Krishna in one form. Also to guide the souls and teach them how to do devotion to God. So he does all of this. The whole preparation, the whole arrangement is made for the souls so that they can attain their ultimate goal of God realization and become blissful forever. He's done all of that. Perfect setup, right? Yes, except we're material beings. So even divine God making a divinely perfect arrangement for our spiritual advancement, well, here in this material world, even that can't remain perfect. Although Sanatan Dharma is like the sun, it's there, the clouds may obscure it, the sun is still there. So the true path and the true knowledge is always there, but it may become obscured. Now we find ourselves in Kaliyuga. Kaliyuga is the time where if something can be obscured, it will. If something can be distorted, it will be. And in this particular Kaliyug in which we're in, you can say it's the Kaliyug to make all Kaliyugs proud. Yes, you look at the situation, the amount of confusion when it comes to the spiritual path and spiritual knowledge, it's like parakashta. There are so many religions in the world. Just give a brief overview of the confusion. So many religions. Yes, we had Sanatana Dharma originally. But from time to time, as population spreads throughout the globe, there are certain teachings given to certain people of a certain place at a certain time. Those people start following those teachings, and all the people around the globe are not connected as they are today, talking thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago. So within the last few thousand years, these various teachings developed into different religions. So we have different religions with different teachings, different rules, different names for God, but all the souls are the same. Then you look even within Sanatana Dharma, what we call Hinduism nowadays. Within Hinduism, you have many, many scriptures. You have some scriptures, or take one scripture, the Ved. Within Ved, you have parts of the Ved that talk about doing good actions and going to Swarg. You have parts of the Ved that tell, no, going to Swarg is a foolish thing to do. You have whole entire scriptures dedicated to this, Purva Mimansa, only about doing good actions and going to heaven. And you have other scriptures that denounce, like the entire Gita, Brahma Sutra, denounce such ideas, that that's a foolish effort and you should strive to know God, not just go to Swarga. So within the scriptures you have so many contradictions within each individual scripture and from scripture to scripture. Apparent contradictions, we'll say. Then you have the saints coming to teach about those scriptures. They also did devotion to different forms of God, taught devotion to different forms of God. One taught devotion to Ram, one taught devotion to Krishna, one taught devotion to Ganesh, one taught devotion to Durga. All of this adding to the confusion of the common people. Within the path of bhakti itself, well, before we get there, you have also in various scriptures various paths described. Karma, Gyan, Yoga, Tapascharya, Bhakti. You have various saints teaching to follow these various paths. Then even if you look within the path of bhakti, you have different saints saying, this is how you do bhakti to this form of God. Another saint saying, this is the form of bhakti, this is how it should be practiced to this form of God. One saint saying, this is your ultimate goal, to attain moksha. Another saint saying, this is your ultimate goal, to attain the divine vision of Mahavishnu. Another saint is saying, your divine goal is to attain Ram. Another saint is saying, your divine goal is to attain Krishna of Dwarika. Another saint is saying, your divine goal is to attain Krishna of Vrindavan, Radha Krishna, and get the bliss of Maharas. Add to this, I'm just telling you about true saints who have come. Add to this that in Kali Yuga, those same scriptures, Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Kalena nashta pralaye vaniyam veda sangita adau brahmane prokta dharmo yasyam madatmakah. Shri Krishna says that I produce the Vedas in order to help the souls know how to get to me, bottom line. Every soul has to come to Krishna. How are they going to learn? Through the teachings of the Vedas. Nishvasitamasya Vedah Vikchitamasya Panchabhutani Smitametasya Characharam. In Ved, Bhagwan himself says, before I do Srishti, I produce Ved. I exhale, out comes Ved. It means Ved is a divine power which resides eternally within God. Then I look at Maya. Maya becomes activated and produces the universe. And Smitametasya, I smile, and all the souls are sent forth. Though all those souls who were resting during Mahapralaya, they're sent forth to take birth. Ved is produced from a subtle form into a gross form. There's four kinds of Varni. There's Paravarni, Pashyanti Varni, Madhyama Varni, and Vaikari Varni. Varni means like a word, like almost like Shabd, but much more subtle. So Ved resides within God as Paravarni, which has no sound, and Shabd and Arth, the words of the Vedas and the meaning of the Vedas, are one. They're all like melted together. And it all stays in a subtle form within Bhagwan. Then as Pashyanti Varni and Madhyama Varni, in Pashyanti Varni, Shabd and Arth is still one. In Madhyama Varni, it actually separates. But it's still not a spoken word. This Pashyanti and Madhyama Varni, Pashyanti Varni only relates to the soul. Madhyama Varni can be passed on into someone's mind without speaking. So as Pashyanti and Madhyama Varni, Bhagwan gives the knowledge of the Vedas to the first saints, the first rishis who have a divine mind so they can receive that knowledge. He does the same thing with Brahma. So they receive the knowledge of the Vedas and eventually they produce it as Vaikari Varni. Vaikari Varni is also of two kinds. If you whisper something or if you say it loudly like I am, that's called Uchayi Varni. So eventually Vedas were produced in this, the most gross form of Varni, least subtle form of Varni. So they're available then. The written word is also this Vaikari Varni, either spoken out loud or written. So once it's available in this form, anyone can get their hands on it. Saints, that's good. Whatever saint interprets the Vedas is going to interpret it with his divine mind and it will be a correct interpretation. But the rest of us, our minds are under the effect of Sattva, Raj and Tam. Some of us more sattvic, some of us more rajas, some of us more tamas. So Sri Krishna says, Yatha prakriti sarvesham chitravacha sravanti bhagavatam. He's telling Uddhav that once these Vedas are available in the world, people just can interpret them according to their own liking. So sattvic people interpret it in a sattvic way, rajas people in a rajas way, tamas people in a tamas way. So we end up with all these distorted interpretations of the Vedas, incorrect translations and interpretations, and those also get spread around the world, adding to the confusion. Add to that that in Kali Yuga you have many people who are only posing as gurus for commercial reasons or because they want just the pride of having a following, it makes them feel good. And the common people, without correct understanding, have no way to differentiate between who's a real saint, who's posing as a saint, this person is talking nicely, but is what he's saying the correct thing? So it creates a huge muddled confusion in the spiritual path. Different religions, different forms of God, different saints in the history who did devotion to different forms, taught different forms of bhakti. propounded different paths, different scriptures telling different paths, telling about different forms of God, different interpretations of all of these scriptures, different people writing books and giving speeches who are not qualified to do so, further adding to the confusion. So this is where we found ourselves in Kaliyug. So into this scene enters Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, who at the age of 34 became Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. Now, to try to summarize how he was able to loosen this knot of confusion and just clear up the whole thing, it's not an easy task. And I don't get nervous anymore to give speeches in almost any situation, but tonight I was nervous because it's a daunting task. So I'll try to touch on a few main points that illustrate how when Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj explained things, how he just made it so simple, yet didn't create any new philosophy, didn't say any new thing, just taking the original teachings of our scriptures and making them vyakt, like making them known to people. He cleared away the entire confusion and made it so that any person, if he carefully listens to his teachings, can have a clear view of the spiritual path and know what his goal is and how to attain it. So let's first start with God. Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj taught that God is one. This we know, right? I told you, he didn't say anything new. It's funny, so many people I talk to, even someone who has no knowledge of any scripture, they listen to Sri Maharaj's speech and they say, whatever he's saying, I already knew it. Now, I know what they mean. They couldn't have known all the technical details he's sharing, but what they mean is it hits home and it just feels like the truth. It feels right and it feels like they've known it because it's the right thing. So, God is one. Okay, wo to sab jante hain. But still, if you look at the situation with the world's religions, people say, oh, the Christian God, the Muslim God, the Hindu God. Just our choice of words illustrates our ignorance. And the fact that even though on one hand we say there's one God, on the other hand we're proving we don't believe there's one God. We're saying that there's a different God for every religion. That Muslim people worship their Muslim God, Hindu people, we worship our Hindu God, Christian people, they worship their Christian God. Sri Kripaluji Maharaj said, no, it's one God for the whole universe, let alone this world, this earth planet, one God for the whole universe. Wherever there may be souls residing, anywhere in this universe, anyone who's worshiping God is worshiping the very same God. Eko Devaha. Simple statement of our Vedas. So it means that different people in different places on this earth planet or in the universe, we're all worshiping God. Whoever's worshiping God is worshiping the same God, but perhaps in a different way. Maybe calling him by a different name, maybe thinking of him differently, and maybe in the particular religious texts of that philosophy or that religion, the description may be in more detail or in less detail, more general and superficial, or to great depth, but it's the same God that's being described. So with one simple explanation, everybody's brain can be relieved. Okay, I'm following this religion, but I don't have to hate the person following that religion. His worshiping God and calling him by that name does not mean I'm wrong for worshiping God and calling him by this name. So everybody just relax, okay? It's a simple philosophy, but if adopted, all that level of confusion is removed. Shri Kripaluji Maharaj always used a few choice verses to explain how all of this is interconnected. One of his favorite ones is from the Bhagavatam.
Vadanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate.
Now this verse is also explained by Jeev Goswami in his Shat Sandarbh. In fact, nothing that Sri Maharaji explained is a new explanation. It's not new to any scripture, it's not new to any saint. The difference is, and you'll be seeing this over the next few days, when Sri Maharaji explained it, he explained it while referring to all the past explanations, brought them all together and reconciled them. He didn't add another one to the mix, that, well, I'm explaining it this way. Yes, those other saints may have explained it that way, but I'm explaining it this way. Now, he refers to all of their explanations, and not only does he reconcile it, but he does it in common language. Jeev Goswami, when he explained this verse in his Shat Sandarbh, he also reconciled it. The whole explanation is there. It reconciles the whole thing about the various forms of God. But it's in Sanskrit. So one in a billion people who are at that level to study that granth, they can go and get the benefit and understand. And the rest of us? So this is the speciality of Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, that while being at that level of Jagadguru, he still thought to bring the explanation down to our level where we could understand it. So he explains that one single Advaya Jnana Tattva appears in three main forms. Advaya Jnana Tattva, he explained, as Jeev Goswami had explained, means the supreme power, supreme, absolute supreme God, who is Sajatiya Vijatiya Swagata Bheda Shunya, which is a big fancy way of saying the one beyond whom there is nothing. Everything that exists is within him and exists dependent on him. So swagat, that means of the sajatiya bhed shunya, means sajatiya, of the same kind. So who's of the same kind? All the forms of God are of the same kind because they're absolutely one, even though they have various forms. So there's no difference there. They're absolutely one. And souls, we're also of the same kind, because Bhagwan is Chetan, he's alive, and we're Chetan. So from that point of view, there's no difference between him and us, and our existence is dependent on him. He's giving life to us. He's within us. So, Sajatiya Bheda Shunya. Vijatiya, meaning the opposite or separate, that's Maya, the Jada Shakti, the lifeless material power. Maya also depends on its functioning, it's dependent on Bhagwan. So Bhagwan also controls the activity of Maya, the functioning of Maya, and Maya is his power. So nothing is separate from that supreme, absolute, divine power. And Swagata Bheda Shunya, he himself has no internal limitations. He can see without eyes if he wants to. He can see from his elbow if he wants to. He can smell from his ear if he wants to. So within his own personality, he's absolute, he's omnipresent, he's supreme. So that supreme, Advaya Jnana Tattva, the single supreme power, is Shri Krishna. And Shri Krishna, Bhagwan, has three main forms in which he can be experienced. One is called Bhagwan, that we know, Bhagwan Krishna, Bhagwan Ram. One is Paramatma, meaning his almighty forms as Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, etc. And one as Brahm, Nirakar Brahm, the formless aspect.
Brahmano hi pratishtha mamritasya vyayasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya ikantikasya cha gita.
Shri Krishna says here, formless God is just me. Formless God is established in me. It's like Bhagawan's radiance, you can say. It's not separate from him. He also says, shashvatasya cha dharmasya.
The shashvat dharm, sanatan dharm, is also established in me.
So all the forms of God are one, absolutely one. When all of the power is being revealed outwardly, he appears as Shri Krishna. The same Shri Krishna appears in any of his almighty forms if he's only manifesting his almighty power. And the same Shri Krishna is formless when almost all of his powers are dormant and unmanifested. So it's possible to experience him as formless, it's possible to get his divine vision in his almighty form, and it's possible to meet him in his personal loving form as Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Bhagwan Ram.
Ye yatha mam prapadyante tas tathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartamanu vartante manushya partha sargata sarvasha.
Gita. Shri Krishna says, depending how a soul surrenders to me, that's how I come to him. All the souls are worshipping me. Whoever is worshipping me. And I can come in any form. See, total unified theory. One form of God. In Hinduism, we have more detail. We know what he looks like. We know what his personal names are. We know he has a bluish complexion and he wears a peacock feather crown. Tika. In other religions, in other philosophies, in other spiritual books, the same God is being described, just maybe not to that detail. Like if I put a tray of apples in front of you, or one apple in front of you, and I say, describe to me what this is, what you're seeing. You could say, it's fruit. It's correct, right? But correct in a very general way. You could say, it's an apple. That's also correct. Correct with a little bit more detail. You could also say, it's a Macintosh apple. Or it's a Golden Delicious, or it's a Fuji. You gave me more information. So now, are three people going to sit and argue and say, no, it's fruit. No, it's an apple. No, it's Fuji. This is what the religions of the world do. In one religion, you have more detail. In another religion, not quite as much detail. In another religion, very general description. It's the same thing you're describing. So in Hinduism, we have more detail. That's it. We're giving the full description. What exactly does he look like? What are his powers? What's his personality? What are the different forms he can appear in, depending what power is revealed and what power is concealed? And in other religions, just like saying it's fruit, they say it's God, supreme power, creator, bus. Ogaya. So it's fine. We're not talking about different gods. We're talking about the same God, just with a different level of description. So there's no reason for argument. There's no reason for jhagada. If we understand this simple explanation, it's very clear. So you choose. What form of God do I want to worship? In what form do I want God to come to me? What level of description do I want to hear about God? A very general description, a more detailed description. Then it's up to each individual person. In other words, Kripaluji Maharaj gave us this understanding in such a way that once we grasp that, it's possible to follow a path and follow a specific religion and still respect others and not feel like we have to change them. Oh no, what you're doing is wrong. You have to follow what I'm doing. And by you doing that, I feel insecure. So you should stop doing that and do it my way. If someone understands this simple explanation, it puts an end to all of that. So this is one big problem we have in Kali Yuga, which we'll see. Abhi abhi hua hai, meaning he's just given this explanation to the world over the last several decades. So we'll see what effect it has in the world when people start adopting that way of thinking. How does it affect their behavior and how does it change the world? Number two, let's look at how he reconciled all the different explanations in our scriptures. Like I said, some scriptures talk only about life in the world, getting more worldly pleasures, getting the pleasures of swarg. Some talk about going beyond that and attaining divine happiness by knowing God. How do we reconcile this? He said it's very simple. Ved is like kalpa vriksh, a wish-yielding tree which has something for everyone. To give a modern example, you could say like a general store. You go in, there's a little bit of everything. So no matter what you need, you can find something there to fill your need. Ved is like that. Something for everybody. No one goes home empty-handed from Vedas. But all of those teachings of Vedas, I kind of have to move through this, each topic, fairly quickly. Aap log sab samajhdar hain. You've all heard these explanations of Sri Maharaji many times. I'm just putting it in a different perspective for you to view it from. Sri Maharaji explained that everybody is made up of two things. The soul, which is your divine eternal self, and the physical body. This is a very high Vedant philosophy. He brought it to the common people by repurposing a common slogan from India, Hum Do, Hamare Do. Yes, he used this to explain to people that you are two. What two? Your true self, the soul, and your temporary self, your body. And each one has something that belongs to it. God belongs to your soul. He is for your soul. And the world is for your body. So since we are two, and we have two kinds of needs, so the teachings of the Vedas, and by extension all the other scriptures, they're all divided into these two categories. Or you can say, there's two kinds of dharma, because Ved introduces dharma. Sanatan dharma, the eternal path to God, has two major sections, aparadharma and paradharma. Paradharma is how can my soul get God, and aparadharma is how should I live in the world so that I get my physical needs, my physical requirements met, to put it simply. Now, through that lens, if you examine all the teachings of the Vedas, you'll see some parts of Vedas are only for aparadharma, telling people the rules and regulations they should live by so that the world, the society, families can all exist in a harmonious way. And some teachings refer to the paradharma, how can a soul attain his ultimate goal of God realization. So you need the bigger picture. If some unqualified scholar or spiritual teacher just goes into the Vedas or into any scripture and just plucks out one verse out of context that says, okay, do these good actions and you'll enjoy all these worldly pleasures in the future, and he starts a whole path with that, okay, yes, it's written in our scriptures, but take it in the overall context. So we need this bigger view to understand that aparadharma, following all the good behaviors recommended in the Vedas, they will make the world a better place if people follow it. However, it doesn't purify your heart in here. To do that, you have to worship God. From your mind, you have to do bhakti. Otherwise, you'll just keep going around and around being born in this physical world. Your heart won't be purified. You'll try to become a good person, but all your worldly desires and attachments become strong from time to time, so we're bound to do bad actions as well. Then we're bound to suffer the consequences of those wrong actions. So with just apara dharma, this is the life we end up living. Or at most, we go to Swarg and enjoy temporary pleasures over there and then come back. But Sri Maharaji explained that you add the two together. You're a combination of soul and physical body. So you can't say aparadharma is wrong or is unnecessary. And you can't say paradharma is unnecessary. If you want happiness, you need paradharma. You have to follow the path to God if you want perfect happiness. But you're living in this world and you have a physical body, so you have to live by certain rules and you have to do what you need to fulfill the needs of your physical body. So you need apara dharma as well. So now you see there's no contradiction where the Vedas are telling all these physical actions, it's for doing what you have to for your physical body and the physical world, and where Veda is telling about spiritual goals, that's your true ultimate goal. You can also think of Veda as like a multi-tiered educational system. There are some people in the world, like I told you, there's something in Veda for everybody. There are some people who have no interest in God. They're not at that level. They only want to enjoy some worldly happiness. So, okay, Ved says, I have something for you to get started. You do these good actions, you'll enjoy a lot in your next life. You do even more of these good actions, you can go to Swarg and enjoy. So Swarg is held up as this great incentive for those people who are not desiring God in any way, that at least they should not do wrong things to try to find pleasure in the world. They should be encouraged to do good things. And eventually, after a long time of doing such good karma, they'll come to some kind of realization that, isn't there anything more? Then they're ready to hear about divine happiness. So the Veda has all of this for everybody. The other scriptures also are explanatory of certain parts of the Veda. So for instance, Purva Mimansa, it's only explaining about apara dharma, nothing about attaining God. So someone says, Purva Mimansa is also a Sanskrit scripture and it's saying to go to Swarg, and Brahma Sutra is saying surrender to God and get divine bliss. So you see the Hindu scriptures are contradicting each other. No, they're not. One is kindergarten, one is graduate school. It's all there in one body of knowledge. All of the paths can also be understood in this way. All of the paths either come into this section of apara dharma or para dharma. Or to use a different terminology, tayo shreya adadanasya sadhu bhavati. Hiyatirthadya upreyo vrinite. Kathopanishad says there are two goals, shreya and preya. Shreya, God, and preya, worldly enjoyments. So, all the paths described in our scriptures, and they're all there, karma, gyan, yoga, tapasya, bhakti, and many, many more. They're all there. But you have to understand, why are they there? What are they there for? You can't just assume that any one of those paths is going to take you directly to Shreya. Even though Ved says, Sarve Vedayat Padama Mananti. Every verse of the Vedas is taking you towards God. Vasudeva Paraveda Bhagavat. All the Vedas are from Shri Krishna and taking you only towards Shri Krishna. Dharmo yasyam madatmakah Bhagavat. Shri Krishna himself says, the dharma I told in the Vedas is only to bring souls to me. However, just like it's a multi-tiered system, so not every path is going to take you all the way to the top. You can't stay in your elementary school in order to get your PhD. Once you graduate from fifth grade, you go to middle school. Then you go to high school. You can't stop there. Then you go on to some postgraduate studies, post-high school studies. So, in the same way, not every path is going to take you all the way to God realization. This is a simple thing to say. But unless someone in the last few years has heard Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj's speeches, I challenge you to bring me someone who knows this simple truth. That all of those paths told in our scriptures, propounded by spiritual teachers and even saints in this world, out of all of them, yes, they're all there in the scriptures, but how many of them take you all the way to your ultimate goal? No one knows, unless they've heard Shri Kripaluji Maharaj's speeches. Then they know that in Vedas it says, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namedhaya nabahuna shrutena yame vaisha vrinute tena labhyastasyaisha atma vivrinute tanugvam swam. That Kathopanishad says, not through any self-effort of studying, intellectual meditation, listening to speeches, reading the scriptures, debating on scriptural philosophies, not through any of that can one reach God. How? You surrender, he graces. You get him. That's it. One way. Naham vedair na tapasa. Shri Krishna also says in the Gita, Naham vedair. You can't reach me by studying Vedas, just getting a theoretical knowledge. Na tapasa, not by doing austerities. Na dānena, na chejaya, not through charity and not through Vedic rituals. How then? Bhaktyātmananyaya shakya ahamevam vidhorjuna. I can be reached through bhakti. Tameva sharanam gachha sarvabhavena bharat tat prasadat param shantim sthanam prapsyasi shashvatam gita. Shri Krishna says, Arjun, you surrender, God graces, then you get divine bliss. Simple process. That's why Ved says, bhakti revainam nayati. You can only reach God through bhakti. So you see, there's actually one path to God. Again, this doesn't exclude other teachings, other religions. It's not saying, follow what I'm doing, follow what I'm saying, or you're out of luck. It's saying what everybody believes. You need God's grace to reach him. And in order to get his grace, you have to surrender. And that's called bhakti. In some other religion, they may call it by some other name, but the sar is the same. Surrender to God, get his grace, and you can experience him. No amount of self-effort will result in attaining God, because all of our efforts are limited, and he's unlimited. Our means of doing anything is material. All of our faculties are material. So all of our efforts are going to be material, and he's divine. So you can't attain the divine through material effort. Thus, there's one path to reach God. See that? Total opposite of what everybody says in Kali Yuga. Nowadays, people are more worried about being politically correct than about being correct. To be politically correct, they say, oh, all paths lead to the same place. All paths lead to God. No, what does doing good karma result in? Going to swarg and coming back here. What does yoga result in? Getting yogic siddhis and remaining under maya. What does doing tapasya result in? Again, gaining some powers, rising in height, increasing the sattvic quality of your mind, but still remaining under maya and eventually falling due to the effect of worldly sanskars, desires, and attachments. So, every path takes you somewhere, but you have to know where. Our scriptures are clear. They tell this path gives this attainment, this path gives this attainment. So with this overall picture, even a common person can understand, okay, the ultimate goal is God. This path that someone is teaching, or that this scripture is telling about, is this telling me to surrender to God, increase my humbleness, give my heart and mind to God in order to receive His grace? Or is it telling me to do some kind of self-effort to improve myself or gain some powers? Anyone can examine and discern, is this path going to take me to God or is it not? So simple, yet none of us could have done that before we heard this explained by Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. None of us. Hum sab bhatak rahe the. Even though it's a simple truth, it has to be stated to us by a divine saint. Then we hear it and we say, oh yes, I already knew that. Yes, we did on some level, but we weren't practically following it. So far tonight, I've only managed to touch on a couple of topics. How, through Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj's explanations, we understand that God is one, and He's worshipped in different ways and called by different names in the world, but we're all worshipping the same God. We have a choice what form He can come to us in. Different religions have a different depth of explanation. As far as Hinduism itself goes, we understand that all the forms of God described are absolutely one. One single Supreme Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, appearing in various forms. That same Shri Krishna is worshipped throughout the universe, throughout our earth planet. And that same Shri Krishna can appear in any almighty form and even as formless God. Within Hinduism, all of our scriptures are perfectly coordinated. We simply have to understand how to categorize them, that this teaching of this scripture is part of the Aparadharma or it's part of Paradharma. They both complement each other, but you have to understand that the ultimate goal is attained through Paradharma, which is only bhakti. All other paths take you to some kind of preya, which means worldly attainment, only if you add in bhakti, which means surrender of your heart and mind to God, then you get God's grace and you attain God. So you see how clear the picture becomes? That muddled, distorted confusion of Kaliyug, that was impossible for a soul to understand what is God, what is the path to God, what even is the goal of my life, becomes crystal clear through these teachings of Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, who, even though he was Jagatguru, he made all of this and stated it in such an elegant way that it was understandable to anyone, even the most common person. So further ahead, we'll go tomorrow and understand how through the teachings of Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, you can understand that all the historical saints, all the paths they taught, all the sampradaya that they established, how none of them are in contradiction. So that and further ahead, we'll take up tomorrow. Boliye Ladli Lal Ki Jai. So it's time for the aarti. You can stand.